You should try not to talk so much, friend. You'll sound far less stupid that way.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast that brings you all of Book Talk's latest books and tell you whether or not you should take time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin. And today we are jumping in to the world of Brandon Sanderson. We are reading Mistborn, the first book of that trilogy, Mistborn, The Final Empire. This, how do you even describe this? It's a world where the magic system is based on metals and people can do different things depending on what metal they are powered with. And there's a select group of people that can do all the metals. And it's kind of this power struggle between the like enslaved poor people and the nobility, and then this kind of all-powerful ruler, immortal ruler guy. So you kind of meet people in the resistance and a little bit in the nobility, and it's all about, you know, taking down the big bad guy.
It is indeed. What can a small group of thieves do to topple the most powerful oppressive hierarchy? Read and find out. Do you guys have your reviews?
I do. I, of course, have a 1-star review from Goodreads, and it says, "It was when the thief and the mage pulled out a whiteboard and started drawing a flowchart of how to conquer the fantasy kingdom that I realized, wait, I'm just reading some sad bastard's D&D campaign. I'm not sure what purpose fiction serves, but I am positive this is not it."
I had pulled that one as well. That one's really funny. I was like, it actually, like, high-key does read like a D&D campaign.
100%.
Do you want to go next, Caitlin, or should I?
I can. I got a 4-star. It says, "So good. I'm so glad I started the series while waiting for the next Stormlight book. Only thing that stopped this from getting 5 stars is that I was way more invested in twists and turns of the plot than I was in the actual characters, so I wasn't hugely sad when tragic things happened. Ha ha." And I felt like it was a fair.
Yeah.
It's a fair critique. Yeah,
I agree. Okay, I'm just going to take one sentence out of a longer review, but it's 1 star, and it says, "Mistborn was the most underwhelming yet overwhelming book I've read."
That's a great, like, description for this book.
I related to that feeling pretty hardcore, actually.
Well, let's not spoil our star ratings yet. The general population of Goodreads gave it 4.49 out of 5, Fable gave it 4.52 out of 5, and Storygraph gave it 4.47 out of 5. Where did you guys fall?
This book is probably the highest rated overall book we may have ever read. Like, 4.49 on Goodreads is crazy. So, did you guys agree?
Obviously you didn't, because we can tell. You kind of spoiled it a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I can go first if y'all want me to.
Yes.
Sure.
I gave it 3 stars. I overall found this book to be fairly disappointing. I didn't think it was bad necessarily. I just thought it was boring. And what the reviews talked about, I just felt zero connection with any of the characters. And so getting through the book was a bit of a struggle just because I wasn't personally invested in them. I think the ending was really compelling because the ending basically indicates that the only thing I found interesting about this book would actually be talked about in book 2. But I don't know. I didn't like the characters. I thought the character growth was a little disappointing. There's lots of things that go wrong, but I felt like all the solutions to their problems were like awfully convenient. And to be honest, the magic system is really unique, but I didn't think it really made sense. And so I was pretty underwhelmed, but also overwhelmed because it's huge and very boring.
I guess I'll go next. I also gave it 3 stars. So on the same page there.
We always talk like three is not good. Three is average. It's fine.
Three. Okay. But I'm on the low end of that average. I'll say that right now. I gave it 3 stars because I can appreciate the undertaking that Brandon Sanderson did. And I appreciated the magic system and the world and the politics of it all. But like Casey said, I had no interest in any of the characters. Like, I didn't feel at all attached when people died. But I also just found a lot of the male characters annoying as all hell. They just didn't have any depth to me. Like, they really just didn't have a lot of development. And I feel like if you're gonna do an undertaking of a book that talks about overthrowing a government, you need people that you're actually invested in order to do that. So yeah, I gave it 3 stars. I appreciate Brandon Sanderson, but the characters needed to be better.
Okay, well, a plot heavy fantasy book. You'll never guess who had the highest rating. I gave it 4 stars. I did not give it 5. I gave it 4 stars.
Okay.
I liked this book. I liked the magic system. I do think the weak spot was the characters. I had no issue understanding the magic system, and I love the politics of it. And there were some good twists, even though I pretty much saw them coming. Like, I liked the twists. Yeah, I liked this book. I didn't have that many issues with it. Other than, okay, let's talk about, I called them last week as I was finishing this book.
Mm-hmm.
My only issue is my book didn't have the ending in it.
Yep.
The last 70 pages were like repeated and then it just ended. So it was like the climax of the story and I didn't have it. So I did go back and I have a copy that has the end and I got to finish the book. So that was my biggest issue, is one of the books did not have an ending.
That's why this episode is late, is because the publisher reprinted a book without the ending.
Sorry, guys. My fault.
That's not your fault.
Not my fault, but my copy, my bad.
I hope the Barnes & Noble employees were as surprised as you were.
She was speechless. Yeah. And was like, while I was looking for the other one, she was like, I was flipping through it and it really just repeated the same pages. I was like, yep.
Shut in. Right at the climax, which is anyway, like a huge part of the book.
Probably some Brandon Sanderson fan somewhere that would pay a bunch of money to have that unique misprint. So,
yeah.
If you want it, it's at Barnes & Noble.
In Missouri. Go find it. Okay. Well, let's get into our non-spoiler discussion. We've already mentioned this a few times because we say that there's a lot of plot in this book and not a lot of character development. So is the book more plot or character driven?
Plot.
Character driven. No, I'm just kidding.
Off, Caitlin.
I'm just picking fights. No.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely plot driven. There actually wasn't much development at all.
No, it's just a heist book, basically. Yeah.
And I can't wait to talk about the main character because, wow.
Which main character?
The main character.
Yeah. I will say this book was written in 2006. We have read Tress of the Emerald Sea. I do think Brandon Sanderson has gotten better at writing teenage girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years. Actually, I mean, we can just say it. Like, the main character is a teenage girl. And I had really high hopes because I really did enjoy Tress of the Emerald Sea and mm-hmm. thought that she was a really well-written teenage girl. And this one, I was like, I want to throttle her. And also, I think she's possibly younger than 17. I think she's probably like 14. Anyway.
Yeah, it was gross.
Well, we've already previewed this a little bit as well. Brandon Sanderson is probably one of the most prolific fantasy writers currently living, and one of the most popular. Have you and would you read other books by the author? Tress of the Emerald Sea was a podcast book that we all read.
And that's the only other one I've read.
Me too.
The one I've read, I own one of the other standalones and haven't ever got to it, but I did buy the second Mistborn.
Oh, so you are going to continue.
It's a trilogy. It can't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not bad. Yeah, I think I would still read other Brandon Sanderson just because I enjoyed Tress a lot more. But if this had been the only Brandon Sanderson I had read, I think I would be a little bit more resistant.
There is a character from Tress that appeared briefly in Mistborn.
Don't think I caught it.
So the one in Tress that babbles and can't speak in real languages, Hoid, was an informant Kelsier talked to briefly in the book. And he, I believe, appears in many of the Cosmere novels and is finally getting his own series.
All right.
Hoid. I remember him for sure.
So Hoid was briefly in there. I'm intrigued by someone who can connect their worlds but write totally separate stories. That is a level of writing that's really impressive to me, and I'm interested.
I mean, I would read other Brandon Sanderson. I don't know if I'll finish this series though.
Fair.
Okay. How was the pacing of the book? How long did it take you to read?
The pacing was ass.
I unfortunately do feel that the pacing was terrible.
I thought it was like it felt kind of slow, but I had no issue making progress, if that makes sense.
That makes
Yeah,
sense.
a lot of it was like planning, but I wasn't bored by the planning. So I don't know. It took me a couple of days. I had it on digital and my loan got returned and I had already bought the physical. So then I was trying to finish it physically.
And then
And that
physical
means I
book.
can't read it at my desk.
Yeah. And then your book didn't have the ending.
Right. This book didn't want to be finished by
No,
me.
not at all.
It fought you every step of the
It
way.
really did. Actually, oh, that's what it was. I read this book for like 10 hours on the plane.
There we
I
go.
forgot. That's I was like, when else did I read this? Oh yeah, on my Kindle on the plane on a 10-hour flight.
That's what I did as well on the way 10 hours to Scotland. And then I got about 25% into it, which was a mistake because I was so confused and so just like sleep deprived. And then I didn't read it on the way back because I really didn't want to. And then I finally finished it on like January 10th. So it technically took me a little over 2 weeks to finish this book, but I was very busy in between those 2 weeks.
You know, my eyes were like burning reading it because we had been awake for like 20 hours. And I was like, must read this book. It's so long.
Yeah, I think it took me a week to read. I feel like the beginning is compelling and the ending is compelling, and I really struggled to get through the middle. Like, I don't know if I disliked it enough that I would have DNF'd it, but I was not a happy reader for like probably a good 300 pages in the middle of this. So I think the pacing was a weak point.
Okay.
But
What about, would you watch the movie or TV show of this book?
if they change the characters a bit, yes. I don't want to see a 16-year-old girl doing this stuff on my screen.
It's weird orphan Annie plot.
Yeah. I don't know. If it came out, I would probably go see it. But I'm not like obsessed with the idea. Like I'm not like, oh, I would definitely go. It would be so great. I'd more like I'd check it out if it was gonna be out.
Yeah. Just one of those fantasy books. I'm like, it's a fantasy book. It's
Yeah.
good as a book.
And I do feel like the casting of Viz would really make or break things, 'cause like,
Then you're mixing up your two
oh,
books.
damn, yeah, 'cause I literally just finished The Strength of the Few. And so 'cause I know I just hate it when movies take a teenager and cast an adult woman in her place. It like really bothers me. And I feel like it skews the dynamics that the characters are supposed to have because you even though you know the character is a teenager, you can't stop yourself from interpreting them as an adult because you're watching an adult. So, anyway, that's my little mini rant about the casting of teenagers that really bother me in fantasy. So,
Before we get to the spoiler section, can I say one more thing that irritated me? This man, at least four times, used the word maladroit.
Yes, I saw so many reviews about the use of the word balladroid.
I was like, first of all, I can understand it in context, but nobody knows what this word is. And then you used it four times, at least.
Yes. I literally saw a review that had like the word counts of certain times different words were used, and maladroit was on the list, and I thought it was really funny.
If you're writing a book that a teenage girl should like, theoretically, you know, see badass young teenage girl, don't use these words.
Yeah. Very inaccessible.
Only a few things, but yes, it's not a simple book.
No.
But Brandon Sanderson is not known for being a simple writer.
No.
He's not.
He's been in some hot water for his comments about romanticy.
He's a fan these days.
Mm-hmm. He had to be because the girls were shitting on him. And they were eating him alive.
Also, he's Mormon.
Which makes sense. Which
is very interesting because a lot of people feel this book was influenced by his religion.
Mm-hmm.
Which I could see. We can talk about that later.
Yeah, there's definitely. And there's also a character who memorizes religions, and it does feel a little. There's definitely a connection there. Okay. Well, now it's time for our busy girl rating. What do you guys think?
Maybe like a 2 or a 3. I don't know. Probably I'm going to give it a 2. Like, I just didn't think like the pacing was all that good for a busy girl. And it was so complex and like there's a lot to deal with. Like picking it up and putting back down, I got confused at times.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 3. It's long and it is complex. It's simply that.
I think I'm actually going to stick with the 3. It was good enough that I wasn't like mad that I read it. But it was definitely really long and like too much of a slog for me to give higher. But there were moments in the book that were really good. It's just that I think those moments. Oh my gosh, I like can't think today. Where are my words going? They weren't spaced out enough. There weren't enough of them. Anyway, I'm giving it a 3. That's it. I'm done talking.
Okay. Well, there's no arguing there. Are we ready for our spoiler alert section?
Of course. Always.
Let's get into this book.
There are many things to spoil in this book because it's kind of a complicated plot. So like, if you're interested in Brandon Sanderson, maybe read it and come back. And if not, we're just happy to have you along for the ride and you might not understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Especially because this book is very technical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our first question up is, what did you think of the world? How about the magic system and the political system?
I loved the world.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the political system entirely, mostly when it came to like the Inquisitors and things.
Yeah.
I do think I understood the magic system and it was unique. And I did talk about how I thought Alchemize was a really unique magic system. I'm like, oh, actually, I think she might have watered down Mistborn's magic system.
Low key, yes.
I was like reading it. I was like, ooh, this is a better version of that.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
So, I really liked the world and I did really like the political system and the magic system. I did get a little confused because at a certain point, there's just a lot of moving parts and I was like losing track of what everything was. The magic system didn't confuse me. It was more just that I felt like there was no explanation for why things were that way. And I feel like I care a lot about a magic system coming with a lore. And it's okay if the lore is not fully fleshed out. Like, this society has been, like, purposefully, like, fractured and kept ignorant because this ruler has, you know, maintained his control for so long. And he's suppressed some of that lore. But I think, like, Will of the Many is actually a really good example of a magic system where you understand the basic rules and the lore is always in the background and the characters are discovering it.
I will say, based on the title of the second book, I assume we get the lore portion of that in book two.
Yeah. Right. Which is why I'm like, I kind of wish I could have just skipped book one and read book two, because I think I'll like book two a lot more, because everything I wanted to be in book one, I think is going to be in book two. Because I'm just like, why only these metals? Like, why does it have to be these metals? Why do they have this particular impact?
I
know.
The whole time I was thinking, the 11th metal? Do you mean silver, the only metal you haven't mentioned?
Yes. Yeah. Like, it's just some of those points I was like, it just felt a little flimsy, just a little flimsy.
Well, and it, yeah. You can explain away a lot with the idea of like the lore being suppressed and being like hidden, and the idea of like this Lord Ruler that's ruled for like thousands of years. He has a unique ability to make sure things that he doesn't want out there can be buried very easily. Because I mean, it takes one generation to change history, one generation to learn the new history, and then it becomes fact. Like, that's the whole thing of like we've learned from like Fourth Wing and other books like it. So that was easier to explain away, but there were portions of it where I was just like, okay, if the Ska are like always, they're so downtrodden all the time, which then they kind of explain it a bit, but they're also like, they are the millionaire. They are the largest of the population. Like, why hasn't there been more uprisings? Because like, I mean, the numbers game adds up. Like,
magic,
exactly. But then the magic system isn't fully fleshed out or explained, and then they aren't explained why the Ska don't have magic.
The only things I think, I understood the magic system. I got it. Okay. I just want to know how it ended up to be only with the nobility at first. Yes. Like, there was clearly some trigger. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't totally understand why everyone wanted that one metal that made you see the future thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why was that the core of the whole political system's like financial security? That's the part. Those two things, I think if they were answered in the book, would have made me a lot happier. I could have left without like, when did the magic start, and left that for the next book.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I felt like there was almost a plot hole, like not quite a plot hole, but borderline one. Because the location of the mines for this very special metal is like the government's best kept secret, because that's how the Lord Ruler keeps his, you know, power over the nobility. And I was like, A, I don't think that totally makes sense just as a logic. But B, then we learn that the main male love interest, Elin's family, is actually responsible for the logistics transporting this metal. So I was like, okay, so actually their family does know where it is. And then it's like, okay, so why didn't the Lord Ruler just hire his own people to do that? Like, it just didn't make sense to me. Like, why did he entrust this one family with it? And then also, why didn't the family like do anything with that knowledge? It just felt to me like that's kind of a plot hole. Like, that doesn't really make sense.
I feel like they didn't do anything with that knowledge because they didn't want the other families to know where they got their wealth.
Right. But then it's like the leaky secrets, like information is always going to get out because now there's a whole group of people. There's carriage drivers, there's transporters, there's prison guards. Like, now you've expanded the number of people who know about the location of this mine, like, significantly.
That one didn't bother me as much. Now we can talk about Elin later, because part of his story did bother me, but
yes. But I do want to say before we move on from this question that I loved the Lord Ruler. Absolutely loved the concept of the Lord Ruler. I loved that he had been in power for so long, like literally like eons. And so his power was so absolute.
Yeah, I just wish I hadn't figured it out so soon.
Yeah.
I was like, it's clearly this other dude. It's clearly this other dude. It's the other dude.
Yeah. It's also like, it did disappoint me how predictable this book was. Like, it's just from start to finish.
The only thing that sort of caught me off guard, sort of, was Kelsier's one display. And I say sort of. Okay, the next question is, what do you think of Kelsier? Kelsier's manipulative.
Yep.
Yeah.
But for supposedly good reasons, he seems selfish. And then in the end, like, you understand why he's asking these religious questions to Kays or Kaz or whatever his name is. and he understands that, like, the people need a martyr Sazed? In order. Huh?
I mean, Sazed?
Saz, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, Saz. And he understands that the people need a martyr mm-hmm. in order to rally. And that's where I feel like the religious commentary is really interesting to me, someone who loves different religions. But so the only thing that sort of surprised me is like the way in which it happened. I knew he would die. I kind of thought he would come back. But at the same time, I knew, okay, these are all the spoilers. I knew Marsh wasn't dead because they said the body was flayed. I was like, that's not Marsh. So two of them couldn't have come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I sort of thought he might. And he didn't.
Yeah.
I knew he was fully dead because, like, as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, he's going to be a martyr for the cause. It's in front of all these people. The Lord
saw it coming when
himself.
He asked Saz say it's about that one religion,
mm-hmm.
about why did it persist so long? It's because they believed in people so strongly. I was like, okay, so he's going to kill himself.
Yeah. But yeah, I could tell it was heading that way.
I guess my issue was with him is I wish he was more morally gray. Like,
I thought he was really morally gray.
I think he was manipulative.
Pretty morally gray.
I don't know. I just feel like he should have been more villainous a bit. Because I feel like, I don't know. Maybe I was just like going.
His inability to share his plans with anyone, first of all, it's giving Aelin.
It's giving Aelin.
Second of all, it made him really morally gray.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I just like. The lack of character development pissed me off a bit.
Like,
and this was one of those
friends
instances.
Were pawns the whole
yes.
time.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yes. He was
that's
collecting
pretty,
a collection and a menagerie of people to help him.
That's a little sinister.
Yes. Yeah. But I wish that there was more character development with him and using his power in different ways because, like, I don't know. It just,
see,
maybe I'm
wasn't
explaining it wrong.
I mad about the character development from him. It was really only Vin that I wanted to see more from. Yeah. I think Telsier was supposed to be a little bit mysterious and a little bit not revealing his whole self mm-hmm. until you see it at the end that he was actually a good person after all. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I thought Telsier was kind of an incredible character, but at the same time, I hated him because he couldn't tell anyone the truth about anything.
Yeah. I hated him, but I think I kind of know partly what you're talking about, Catherine, because mm-hmm. it did bother me that they made some decisions in the book that I feel like went a little bit unquestioned.
Yeah.
Like, one of the decisions that they make is in order to get their army of resistance fighters, they like emotionally manipulate the ska in order to get them to go. And then when they're keeping control over the ska army and trying to get their loyalty, they emotionally manipulate them again. And I was like, you actually like borderline like are just a slave master. Like yeah. you're treating them exactly the way their
master. He made the army think they were invincible. So they attacked that one garrison and boom, army's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not treating them like an equal. Like Vin realizes this at one point, like you're also treating them like objects that can be manipulated. And like, yes, your goals are to have them be free, but you're not willing to actually bring them with you on this journey. You're just willing to use them the way everyone else has been using them.
I did like the moment Vin snapped and like said
yes.
that stuff to him
yeah,
because Vin had
that.
Gone from a really hard, tough character to being really soft. It
yeah.
was nice to see her pop back out. So that's the next question. How about Vin? Mm-hmm. I liked beginning Vin and I liked end Vin. I mm-hmm. liked the nobility political intrigue in the middle, but Vin got boring.
Yes.
Yes.
She
got boring quick.
She got like so naive because mm-hmm. like you would think a girl that grew up in what she grew up with, she wouldn't get so enraptured by the nobility.
Right. Her whole thing was, I don't trust anyone. And suddenly it's like, oh, the richest man and most eligible bachelor. I trust
loves
him.
Me. He loves yeah. me. And I'm like,
it
girl.
Was, okay. So I would like a separate love story for them, but that didn't belong in the book.
I would yeah. not because she is I way know. Underage.
Yeah. She's what? Way younger than him.
She was like, 18.
So
she's 16.
She was 16 and he was 21.
I thought by that point in the book she was 17 or 18.
No, I think the oldest she is in the book is 17.
Well, it's also a different world.
Still doesn't excuse it.
I understand this is hypocritical of me as someone who has been an apologist for like 20-year-olds with ancient Feynman, but I'm drawing the line at two real, a real boy and a real girl. The age gap should make sense. The only reason I wasn't more mad about that is because I'm not convinced that their love story will continue. And I think Vin may have more growth in the next book and get rid of this insufferable boy.
I hope that she becomes queen.
But reading her development actually kind of pissed me off because I felt like it didn't really make sense. Like a woman with this level of trauma and this level of mistrust with people who is also a thief and is incredibly crafty and understands survival. I understand why she sort of fell to the allure of the elite, because it must have seemed so lavish to a girl like her. But her just like falling in love and believing everything that the nobility told her and like believing so blindly in this random boy, I was like, really?
Believing the smoke and mirrors.
Right. I mean, it just didn't make sense to me.
No.
I think it would have been more interesting if he had ended up being Mistborn.
I don't know if that would have.
I wondered if he was Mistborn.
Secretly crusading around. Yeah, I kind of wondered too.
I'm still wondering. Turns out
he was actually just a philosopher. Right.
Because Kelsier is technically Robin Hood. Like, this is a Robin Hood retelling, but from a different person's perspective. I thought it would have been interesting if he was up to something. But I think the alternative is actually kind of worse, because he was actually just doing nothing and he's kind of boring. And he did end up
discussing politics and not doing anything about it.
Here's the thing I hated that I said I had critiques about Eland. Suddenly he comes and is like, no, don't destroy the nobility, and he's king.
Yeah.
I was like, excuse me? You're this 21-year-old, you're like, oh yeah, we probably better not kill all the nobility. Yeah, you can rule the whole place.
Yeah, I thought it was
like, I understood him convincing them not to kill the nobility, but then they were like, King Eland, and I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, like what the fuck?
Made zero sense.
Because none of the resistance actually believed in
him.
And also, none of the nobility even respected Eland. No. Like, they, like, mocked him. I was like, just because he's up.
Most of them are dead, so it doesn't matter.
Right. They just killed a lot of them, so I guess that's true. Okay. So, there are other side characters. The one character in this book I ride or die for that I love so much is Saz. I loved Sazed. I was like, if anything happens to Sazed, I'm giving this book one star.
I was nervous something would happen to him.
Same.
Because he was so self-sacrificing.
Yes. Yeah. But he is a special man, angel, who just memorizes everything and is just can be buff and be so good. I loved
like,
him.
Like the true like person who grabbed the little orphan and actually cared for her and wasn't using her.
Yes. The only person who actually like cared about her. And I loved his role within the society of being a story keeper and a religion keeper. And I thought that inclusion about religion was really fascinating, of being like, these are belief systems that reflect values, but also like these are belief systems that challenge the like ubiquitous control of the ruler, because they propose alternate versions of seeing the world, alternate morality. And so I thought that was really fascinating and really cool.
And of course, I loved the religious commentary.
Yeah, the religious commentary is good in this book.
Yeah. And I wanted to hear more about more and more of these like crazy religions. I was like, yes, Saz, tell me.
Tell me more.
I'm just going to say it. Kelsier was painted sort of as a Jesus figure. The whole martyred thing and then appearing after death. That was a very, I don't know, maybe someone in there was supposed to be Joseph Smith based on Brandon Sanderson's belief system, but
that's how I kind of thought, because Kelsier is obviously like sort of creating the myth of Jesus like with his actions. But to me, it felt like more of a commentary on Joseph Smith, because Joseph Smith declared himself to basically be Jesus, like to be another one of God's sons. And so that seemed to me to be like commentary on Joseph Smith, because Kelsier is obviously like a false quote unquote Jesus, because while his goals might be honorable, he is not truly like
he's manipulating it.
He's manipulating things to get what he wants out of people.
Be clear, you do you. We personally are not part of a Mormon belief system. Sorry.
Right. I don't want to. I'll critique all religions pretty hard. So
yeah. Yeah, Casey is part of zero belief system. So it will come for any of you.
Yeah.
Same.
But I did think that it was like good, interesting commentary the way everything happened. And it did make me hate Kelsier even more, because he was so like falsely self-sacrificing and like holier than thou at the end. I was like, fuck you.
Sasha was also a plant to give you the clue to the Lord Ruler thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So in that part, I was like, meh, that ruined the twist. But I would never get rid of him as a character ever.
No.
No.
I also like Doxson and Ham and just the perspective they added. Like, they were, like, Doxson had no powers but could contribute. Breeze was annoying.
Yeah.
Supposed to be, though. I don't know. And then I don't really get the point of Lester Burns, but
I lost track of him.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Spook, because problematic Kelsier just renamed him because he didn't like his name. He wanted him to be more like them.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Cringe.
Yeah.
Let's just rip him away from his culture because it's inconvenient.
Exactly. That's why I was like, Kelsier, you're not a good dude overall.
No.
Problematic.
I think he was supposed to be problematic, though. So
He's definitely supposed to be like, there's a word for it. A hero who's actually a villain. It's like Batman.
A vigilante?
No, fuck.
Anti-hero?
Anti-hero, there we go.
Really? That was the word you were looking for?
I couldn't think of it. Oh my god, you guys, I'm struggling.
A hero who's not supposed to be a hero. An anti-hero.
Yeah, an evil hero.
Like Batman. Okay.
Okay, next question. What do you think of the chapters starting with excerpts of the Lord Ruler's diary?
It took me a second to figure out what was happening. Just a second. Mm-hmm. And then I realized what it was.
I mean, it's not the Lord Ruler's diary, but yes.
Yeah, right. Then it helps you figure out the twist.
Yes,
it does. A lot of them were pretty boring. I feel like they'll come into play more in the next book, since it's called Well of Ascension.
Yes.
They dropped the clues.
They did. I liked them as far as being clues. I mean, basically, their only purpose is to tip you off to.
And it made little sense until then they actually discovered the book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay.
At the start, I was like, what is this? I'm so confused.
Yeah. It took me a couple chapters and I was like, okay. And then they found the book. I was like, oh, now it's actually important.
Yes.
Right.
Kind of.
I will say I was a little disappointed because I thought that the chapters were going to be giving us information that the characters didn't have. And so I thought it was going to construct a situation where we knew things they didn't. And
I mean, we did if you picked up all the clues.
Yeah. But what I mean is at a certain point, they had all the information we had. They just also had to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was going to be more of like a twist of like us understanding who the Lord Ruler was more deeply. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, this is just telling us that he's actually this other guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Interesting with that, too, was like the death of the Lord Ruler also meant the death of answers Sazed had been looking for. So like you were kind of sad he didn't get those answers, even though you were like, this guy needs to die.
It ended up being very bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
I also like it did just piss me off, though, because the Well of Ascension and whatever trial the Lord Ruler actually had to go through and the things that he had to do and the power that he was trying to stop, that was what was interesting to me in this book. And I was like, oh, my God, fuck all this other stuff. What is happening here?
Well, and at the end, he drops a thing about what I've been doing for you guys.
Right.
So I feel the deepness is still in play.
Deepness exists.
Well, and I think it opens up questions because he wasn't the hero that was supposed to be the one that saved the world. So what would the world have looked like if the real hero had done it.
My guess is the real hero wasn't even the one who is the real hero. I think the real hero has just been placed in the body of a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah.
It's probably. Been
the hero of worlds or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's like the third book title.
Oh, so there we go.
Okay, so at the very end, we figure out who the Lord Ruler actually is, that he's like this sort of imposter who has now ruled the world with an iron fist, and he indicates that he's still fighting the deepness on their behalf. What did you think of that final fight scene of Vin figuring out how to beat him and putting all those pieces together?
We don't know why Vin has these extra powers, and that's irritating.
Yes.
Yes. Another thing that made the magic system
because she's the hero of ages or whatever.
Soft but to me, right? She just happens to have all these extra abilities.
And Sazed appears again.
Yeah.
Right. Thank God for Sazed.
He is the Lord and Savior at this point.
Yeah. He is the hero of the book.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, let's get a book about him, actually.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was definitely like, my book ended when she walked into the little room inside the room and saw the old man, and they called him Lord Ruler, and then my book ended. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
That's literally what it was. Which I like knew, but also I was like, huh? when I finally got to read that and read she magically escaped thanks to Sazed again and magically defeated him. Emphasis on magically, because it was magic. But yeah. I was like, she has this extra power that other people don't have to like punch through the clouds or whatever. And while it was exciting and interesting, it was all too easy.
Yes. But
that's kind of how it goes. And
the Lord Ruler's death was far too easy.
Yeah.
And the crowds outside cheering were very interesting.
Yeah.
I did end up liking the final battle, but I also did ultimately think that just everything in this book was a little bit too easy. Like, after every setback, they just seemed to have like the perfect solution already lined up.
It was only possible because of Marsh.
Right. Yes, it was only possible because of Marsh, but also, yeah, like you said, Casey, they have so many setbacks in this book, but then they magically have an answer for that setback. And I'm like,
yeah,
that doesn't seem realistic.
Right. Because I think on its face, the idea of this small group of like ne'er-do-wells, like ending, like ultimately like running this heist to like take down the Lord Ruler is really fascinating. But they just didn't really end up doing it. They just ended up like creating a new religion and then
YOLO.
They left the little girl to do it.
Yeah, there wasn't enough heisting in this heist book. Like, I wanted a heist.
Yeah. Marsh appearing was not surprising to me. I did kind of guess that he had actually become a Steel Inquisitor. Mm-hmm. What actually irritates that about me is like, I pulled out their spikes and I'm like, why are the spikes there?
Yeah, what are the spikes? Yeah.
What is going on? Why do they have an exoskeleton?
Why do you have spikes? Like, what's happening?
Yes, what literally is an Inquisitor? How is this existing?
We find out how they see.
Yeah.
But that's
which is
it.
Crazy.
It grossed me out, I'm not going to lie.
And Marsh is just going to like bop around like that forever now?
I don't think he gets an option.
With his giant terraceman friend and his little girlfriend? Okay, sure.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, so did it ultimately make you want to read more?
I bought the second book.
Not really.
I like a convoluted political fantasy book that's entirely plot-based.
Yeah. I do too, but this book disappointed me. And I'll just say, like, I know this book was written in 2006, so I know Brandon Sanderson has gotten better about writing, character development, stuff like that. But I will say, and this is kind of like a broad strokes critique of male authors when writing books, female authors, I find, are a lot more focused on character development because of like a degree of empathy or life experience that men don't have. Yeah. And I find that a lot of male authors really skimp on the character development and really, really focus on plot. And I think where you can have the perfect book is to have both. And unfortunately, this book just didn't have the character development that I really wanted to fall in love with these characters while also going on this plot journey. I think the plot was fantastic in the sense of, like, it was well expansive and, like, had so much lore and made up this whole new world and magic system and politics. But there needed to be more character development. And I know Brandon Sanderson has gotten better at bit about this because we've read Tress, and Tress is a very good character development journey. So Brandon Sanderson fans, don't come at me, but I just find that male authors tend to not focus on emotions as much. Just saying.
That's why we call it boy fantasy. It's more plot driven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Girl fantasy tends to be more character driven.
I do hard agree with that. I think all the best books are a combination of both. And I think this book failed a little bit on all fronts.
Didn't pass the Bechdel test.
No, that's for damn sure. Oh my gosh. At a certain point, I'm like, does Vin, is she capable of thinking about things that aren't dresses?
And boys.
Yeah. Anyway.
A boy taught her how to be a noble woman.
Crazy. Yeah, there should have been a woman who was there to teach her. Whatever. Okay. It doesn't matter. Y'all are just going to make me mad all over again. I actually would consider reading the next book just because I really craved the lore and thought the lore in this book was really interesting and I really wanted more of it. So
if I might get to it, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I might read the second book just because I actually want to understand the deepness and this sort of epic battle for humanity that's allegedly gone on. Okay. Well, I think that's pretty much it. Thanks, guys, for listening. And, oh, do you two have book recommendations?
I'm going to recommend Red Rising because I think that's a better boy fantasy book with much more character development.
Yeah.
I feel like I thought of one while I was reading and then I lost it.
I am going to recommend Six Crimson Cranes. It's fantasy, not quite as epic and political as this book, but it has a young female protagonist who I think is done a little bit better. And I really enjoyed that fantasy story. So lots and lots of lore in that one.
There's so many, like, young teen girl ones that are better. I don't know. I weirdly want to recommend Divergent.
Follow your heart. But, if that's,
you know, take down the system from the inside.
Yeah, very true.
There may or may not be a martyr also.
Ooh. Yeah, I was going to say, we've actually read a lot of books semi-recently that have also had themes about martyrdom.
Yeah.
That's becoming a common one on the podcast.
Well, that's probably better than cannibalism.
Yeah.
They do occasionally come together, so.
I think we've been cannibal free so far this year, our first episode in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one episode in.
No cannibalism. It's like we have one of those signs in, like, our each of our offices.
0 days.
Many days since book about cannibalism.
We're on don't worry, guys. We have to read the next bunny soon.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I'm sure we'll
be going back down to zero.
Yeah. Okay. Well, rate and review the podcast, please. Thanks always, as always, for listening. And please submit books that you'd like us to read. We love to hear from you guys and work in viewer recommendations. If you want to do that, you can find us at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. BusyGirlsPod.com. Where we post a lot about our episodes and our recommendations. So with that, I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.